God bless you, Pierre. Good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? Oh, it's a great morning. It's not just good. I'll tell you, it's a great morning because we've installed an elder. And that's really good news for Shane and Lois because they're rejoicing in purpose that God has activated. You know, God had this in mind all along, and now it's just come to the day, and we've gotten a chance to witness that. God's doing great things in their lives. And just the idea of coming into the task of being an elder, an under-shepherd in God's church, it's only the start. It's just the start of the learning, start of the blessing, start of all kinds of things that the Lord's going to do to grow you and to stretch you and to bring you into everything He wants for you in your lives. And you've said yes to that. So it's a great day. We're rejoicing for you in that. It's a great day for Trinity as well. God is raising up leaders in this church. When God's raising up leaders, there's always hope. God has hope. We have hope for the church. And even more importantly, raising up leaders and seeing leaders being called by the Lord, that means that God has hope for the church. And we're blessed by that. It's also a great day for the world because raising up leaders in the church strengthens the church. And a strong church is a blessing to the world, which is lost and needs the Lord. So it's a good day. It's a great day for the world when the church of God is strengthened. So, yeah, it's a really good day for all kinds of reasons, even beyond ourselves. Yeah, it's wonderful. The title of my message this morning is The Call to Lead. The Call to Lead. Oh, there it is. Before we start hurrying to check out of this message, going, oh, phew, this one's not going to hit me because I'm not called to lead. As long as I stay in the background somewhere, then this message isn't going to hit me. Well, not so fast. This is the thing. I'm going to be preaching on the qualities of a kingdom leader. And as I go through them, it becomes clear that really, these are actually just the qualities of a Christian. They're the qualities of a kingdom man or woman. And of course, leaders are called into function in leadership, and that's really important. But the truth is that if you belong to Jesus this morning, you're a leader. You're a leader at least, it's a huge thing. You're a leader at least regarding the world. You are a minister and a messenger of reconciliation. You are an ambassador for Christ. You carry a message that the world needs to hear. That's leadership. There are things that God has given to the church today, in this day and age, on this planet, that no one else carries, only the church carries. And this is for the benefit of the entire world. And we're the ones that He's called to lead together as the church in this. So no matter what I'm going to be talking about this morning has to do with all of us. Amen? Okay. The call to lead. And we're going to be going to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And before I really get going, I guess what I would say is that leadership in the kingdom is different than leadership in the world, especially the way the world is viewing and approaching leadership nowadays. It seems like the world has gotten into this thing where it doesn't matter what your character is, it's just whether you can do the job or whether you're popular as you do the job. And all I need to do is mention just some recent presidents of the United States and some of the character issues that they had. And the fact that it seems that as far as the American people went, it didn't really matter that they had severe character flaws. They didn't associate that with doing the job of president. That is not the way it is in the kingdom of God. In fact, you know, when you look at the qualities of an elder in 1 Timothy, for example, there's like 14 qualities of an elder thereabouts in this list that Paul gives. These are things you should look for in a good elder. And of those 14 things, 12 of them have to do with character. They don't have to do with skills and skill sets or talents. They have to do with the character of a leader. And it's no exception in 2 Timothy when we get to it. You see, just to illustrate, character is like a container. And, you know, we know that God's Spirit, He pours out His anointing on people. And really, for the kingdom person, whether we're a leader or not, the container of God's Spirit, the thing that contains His Spirit, is our character. And if our character is weak, then it doesn't matter how anointed you are. It just seems like the container is really, really important. You can hear that, eh? The container needs to be solid. It needs to be able to do the job. Like, okay, let's say, well, this is a new one. The Holy Spirit being water. Okay, not that new, very biblical. And here's a leader, a kingdom, who wants to be a kingdom leader. And this person has so much anointing. And they're just vibrating with their anointing. And they're saying, Lord, fill me, fill me. Okay, I'm going to help. I'm going to serve. I'm going to lead. And then there's nothing in there. It's because their character is full of holes. Not able to contain, in a sense, all that God wants to pour into them and through them to others. Well, Ken, you're really in need. I know you need some water. And it happens over and over and over and over again. When we don't address the main issue regarding leadership, the main issue is the container. This is the anointing, comes from God. Our part, our issue has to do with character. Now that's bad news, because every one of us in here is going, oh no, I got holes in my character. We all know about them. We try to hide them, we try to cover them up. But it always seems to come out somehow, you know? And that's bad news, because it's like, Lord, I'm not qualified. Who could lead, who could ever lead God's church when He's looking at character as such an important thing for leadership? Well, the good news part of it is that's exactly the thing that He is working on and developing in all of us. Character. Godly character. And because of His Holy Spirit, we all have hope. Because He gives us power to change. And what He wants us to do is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's the journey for all of us, leaders included. So today, as we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to just go through verses 1 to 7, and in that, just make some observations of what are the qualities of a kingdom leader. So 2 Timothy 2, and you can just sort of hold off on the slides. We'll, for now, we'll just read through it all. I'm reading from the ESV. It says this, "You then, my child," that's Paul talking to Timothy, "be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Thank you, Father, for this set of scripture. We believe, Lord, that your word is inspired. That is, it doesn't originate with us. It's originated with you. And Lord, I ask as we look at it, I want to ask that your Holy Spirit would bring to light important things for each one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Verse 1, it says this. We're good to go. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, that's our second born son, by the way. He sure doesn't look like that now. The armor wouldn't fit him now. The first thing that we notice is Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy wasn't a little boy. But Paul says, you then, my child. He refers to Timothy as my child. And it brings me to my first observation about a kingdom leader, somebody who is called by God to lead in the world or in the church or however, to lead in at home with the family, however that is. And that is, a kingdom leader is comfortable under authority. That is, a kingdom leader knows how to follow. Paul was in a mentoring relationship with Timothy. Timothy was younger, Paul was older, and Paul was helping him. He was helping Timothy in his gift, giving him advice, walking with him. You see that all the way through Paul's letters to Timothy. And Timothy received the fact that Paul called him my child. That's a term of endearment. It indicates a relationship, almost like a spiritual father and son relationship. Paul knew that God had joined him to Timothy, and Timothy knew and received that God had joined him to Paul. Because there's something about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's actually not that surprising. It seems that God brings other people in to help stir up those gifts. Amen? It's like with all kinds of things in the church. We need each other. And Paul was brought alongside Timothy. And I've got to say, it's really important that as a leader, you don't have issues with authority. Because it's God's authority first that we need to deal with. And then there's all kinds of human authority that God has delegated his authority to. And our ability to work under authority says a lot about our ability to lead. Did that hit anybody? Well, hits me a little bit too. Probably a lot. A kingdom leader is comfortable under authority. Secondly, in this verse, a kingdom leader, this is so important, a kingdom leader relies on the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill his call. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's the first lesson a leader needs to learn. I've got nothing to bring to the table, actually. As soon as that thought finishes, our next thought should be, I have everything. I can do everything in Christ Jesus by his power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's for everybody, not just for leaders. That's even for the day-to-day life of a follower of Jesus. We need to be strengthened. That word strengthened it comes from the same root as the word in Acts 1:8, where Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Dynamis, that's where the dynamite word comes from. But you will receive dynamis. So another way to put that is, you then, my child, be empowered, be filled with power by the grace. You know, it's the prayer we say before food, or, you know, it's, Paul uses grace, the word grace, in an interesting way. It does mean unmerited favor. We know that grace means that. It's a boon. It's a gift given from someone higher up to someone lower down. It's a gift given by God. That's grace. The Greek word is charis, which means a gift, or a present. Okay? Charis. So another way to work this is, you then, my child, be filled with power by the gift, the empowering gift that is in Christ Jesus. Shane, you need the Holy Spirit. You've settled that issue already. That will take you the rest of the way, just holding on to that truth. And that's for all the leaders in Trinity. They know this. They know that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, strengthening by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that anything gets done in the church, because it's different from the world. And verse 2, "And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul's giving Timothy advice, and it helps us understand the qualities that Paul's looking for in a kingdom leader. A kingdom leader is able to learn. He's a learner, somebody who receives from the Word of God, which is our ultimate teaching tool, right? Like, we're being taught by the Word of God. All believers are. But also being willing to learn from others, being willing to learn from those who've maybe walked for a little bit longer, or maybe those who God has given a particular revelation to. So a kingdom leader is a learner. A kingdom man is a learner. A kingdom woman is a learner. So as I say, we're talking about qualities that we all, that God's trying to move us all into. He's a learner. She's a learner. A kingdom leader is also a teacher. That is, you're learning with the idea that you're going to be needing at some point to be passing along this information. It doesn't mean that you have to be some big deal, gifted, whatever kind of teacher, but it's learning with the idea that this is something to share, not just something to absorb and retain, but something also to broadcast, to share. So it's like we're ready all the time with what we've learned from the Lord, and asking the Lord for opportunities to share these kingdom things with the church in individual conversations. The Lord will bring that up where all of a sudden someone's talking about an issue or a problem or a need, and you're going, "Hey, the Lord just taught me about that one." And then He gives us the opportunity to share it. Do you think that can even happen in the world? Please say yes. The Lord, King, the things of the kingdom have been given to us to share with others. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being the first and the main one, but also all kinds of things that have to do with how the kingdom of God works. I find that all the time when I kind of am out and about in the world, that there's all kinds of, the world doesn't know. They need to understand the kingdom, and God's given us that. So a kingdom leader is comfortable with authority. A kingdom leader relies on the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill their call. A kingdom leader is a learner and a teacher. And then the next verse says this: "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. A kingdom leader doesn't shrink from suffering. We don't make theological backflips to try to convince ourselves that we're no longer subject to any kind of suffering. It doesn't take long for that one to go down. Suffering's part of our life. Was it part of the Lord Jesus' life? Yeah. He led the way. He was the first kingdom man, so to speak. The great kingdom man. The one who leads the way for us, the last Adam. And he lived a life characterized by suffering. How would we expect to get away with a life that has no suffering in it? When the Lord Jesus, he didn't shrink from it. He understood suffering's not some great thing that we should all look for. We're not all into self-flagellation and stuff where we're hitting ourselves or whatever like they did in medieval times, thinking that somehow that's going to help. It doesn't. That's not going to help. We don't go looking for suffering. Suffering finds us easily enough. But when it does come, we look for God, because God is not far from those who are suffering. He is near. In fact, Jesus suffered, and when we suffer, we're in some ways sharing in his life. We're sharing in a part of his life that nobody's running to share, but we will suffer. And a kingdom leader has settled the issue that suffering is part of life and that God is not far from those who are suffering. Because if we don't settle that issue, all it'll take to topple a pillar in the church, a leader, or all it'll take to topple a follower of Jesus is a trial or a tribulation. That's all it would take. And all of a sudden, they're blown here and there and tossed back and forth because they didn't expect that life could ever look like that. And it's tough for kingdom leaders, because for kingdom leaders, there are people watching them. There are people, I think there was something in the charges here about imitating faith, that Paul says that, you know, like, it's like, follow me as I follow Christ, you know, watch me and do as I do. There's something legitimate about that God's provided people in our lives as models of what it looks like to work out our faith, to walk this journey. And if we haven't got suffering in hand in terms of our understanding of it and the fact that God is sovereign no matter what, it can end up ruining our leadership, plus ruining a bunch of other people who are watching and following and trying to work things out too. So it's important. But not only does a kingdom leader have a good handle on the idea of suffering in life, but a kingdom leader doesn't shrink from other people's suffering. Because a kingdom leader needs to come and bring care when they can. So instead of, you know, oh man, I'm not going there. Look at, that's just one big suffering mass there. But that we would receive, I mean, that's kind of a cool picture, that we would receive from the Lord, even though we've got our own suffering. Let me give you a hint. If we try to wait until our lives are completely in order before we take any kind of step to come alongside someone else and help them or comfort them, be waiting for the rest of your life. But what God does is he fills us. Even, like, oh, it's the God of all comfort, right? The God of all comfort who comforts us in our troubles and then allows us that comfort overflows in us so that we can comfort others in their troubles. Whole lot of suffering in that verse. But it seems that God, being sovereign, can use it for his plans and purposes. So a kingdom leader doesn't shrink from suffering in his own life or in the lives of others. And the next verse, he's staying on the soldier idea. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. A kingdom leader is focused and faithful. You know, this whole thing about not being entangled in civilian pursuits, let me tell you, as soon as you commit yourself to a job for the Lord, isn't it a coincidence that a bunch of distractions start coming in? Things that start demanding our time, things that start demanding our attention. And you can bet, since we have an enemy of our souls, that he's behind it somehow. Because he doesn't want kingdom leaders to get focused. He wants kingdom leaders to be scattered. He wants kingdom leaders to be confused, going in every direction at once. Telling kingdom leaders, oh, you should be entitled to do nothing. You shouldn't be an elder. That takes too much time. It takes away your me time. Or, if that doesn't work, he'll say, you lazy thing. You should be doing more and more and more. You should be doing all that stuff in the church. Plus, let's just pile on all these other things as well, because you should do them. See, the enemy doesn't care how he gets what he gets. He just tries to get it. So I would encourage Shane, Lois, watch out in these days. Order your lives in such a fashion that you've made room in your life for the call of God to eldership. It's not something you add to life. It's something that you make room for. And watch out for the deluge. It may not necessarily happen, but it's what it is demands, other demands on your time and attention. So a kingdom leader is focused, and a kingdom leader is faithful, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Faithfulness. That's one of the things we love about God. That no matter what, it seems he's there. No matter what, there's a consistency about God. Well, brothers and sisters, God is working consistency and faithfulness into you because it's such a good quality. And it's not just something others should have when you need them. It's something that God wants us to have in our hearts, that we would be faithful, we would be loyal, we would be consistent, we would be mature in Christ. Again, all of this is by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's not something that we generate just by lifting ourselves up by our own bootstraps. It's something that we call out to God for. So God is making kingdom leaders, which is all of us, faithful and focused. Let's continue. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's a simple statement. Paul uses athletic imagery a lot when he's talking about the Christian life and running the race, and not as a man beating the air, but, you know, running with perseverance, the race marked out for us. That one's in Hebrews. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Way back when, I don't know if anybody knows this name. If I say the name Rosie Ruiz, anybody? Okay. That's like a Trivial Pursuit question, so tuck it away once I tell you what it is. Rosie Ruiz was the winner of the New York Marathon way back, like in the 80s? Yeah, something like that. She won the marathon, or was it the Boston Marathon? I can't remember now, but it was a big city marathon. It might have been the Boston Marathon. But whatever the case, so they don't ask that on the Trivial Pursuit question. They only ask who cheated, actually, to win that marathon. Because she ended up winning the whole race. You know, they were expecting like the favorite to come in first, and there's her. That's not her, by the way. That's a legitimate winner. But she comes in and wins the whole race, and everybody's stunned. Because, you know, I mean, just looking at her, she didn't look like a marathon runner. She didn't look like she was in that kind of shape necessarily, and everybody was just kind of wondering. Well, then witnesses started to come in saying they saw her on a bus. She actually took a bus from some point in the marathon to the finish line and then just came out and finished. Yeah, and you know what? We try that with leadership too. And where, you know, there's privilege in leadership, or at least we think there is. As soon as we get into leadership, we find out it's all about responsibility, not so much privilege. But we like to take shortcuts sometimes in order to get what we want, and this is not the kind of thing we want to take shortcuts for. A kingdom leader is characterized by honesty and integrity. So important. Honesty and integrity. And you know, if there were references for, like a pastoral reference or for an elder or whatever, you'd want to hear from that person's pastor or mentor in their reference. How would they say that person is? I would actually like to hear from Manitoba Hydro about that person. I'd like to hear from MasterCard about that person as well. Do they pay their bills? How would the world give a reference to that person? Well, you don't want, you'd like it to be exactly the same thing, whether it's inside the church or in our dealings with the rest of the world. So, yeah, honesty and integrity go way beyond just how we deal with those who are on the inside here. It has to do with how we deal with the world as well. Amen? Yeah. Hopefully I didn't hit anybody with that one. We'll move on to the next thing. It's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Another characteristic of a kingdom leader is they're hardworking. For Shane, and we know this as elders, as a fellow elder, I can say this, that there's no way to turn eldership into something that's easy. There's no way to do it. It's hard work. However that comes, it's hard work. And we have to settle the issue that it's not, oh, well, let's just keep this at a minimum here because I've got all these other irons in the fire. It's not. That's why I talked about making room in our lives for this call. Because God's church requires hard work. And that's just part of it. We just have to accept it. It's not easy. And no matter how easy we try to make it, it's not easy. So it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. You see, another characteristic of a kingdom leader is they invest in the ones they serve, but they're also expectant in a positive way for the return. And by the return, I mean a harvest of righteousness in the lives of those they are serving. It's right to work hard and to invest in this flock. And it's also right to be looking expectantly and positively for the good fruit that the Holy Spirit is going to bring from that hard work. Amen? Amen. So I'm just going to, I think we'll just move on. Paul says at the end, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And that brings me to, it's an important point. A kingdom leader is prayerful. That prayer is such an important part of what it means to be a kingdom leader, because we need understanding, and we won't get understanding from the internet. We will get information from the internet, but we'll get understanding from the Lord, because we have to work with His things. We have to make decisions regarding His church. So it only makes sense. Brad talked about it. Jesus is the head of the church. Why would we be running around trying to strategize and not ask the head what he thinks? Because what that would be is a church running around in circles, and then somebody eventually says, hey, let's pray. And then you pray about it, and the Lord gives an answer, and a way opens up. It's a better idea to just start with, hey, why don't we pray? Do that first, and then the Lord opens up a way, and then there's far less arguments. I can tell you that from experience. I can almost document it in elders' meetings, that the meetings where we talk first about things and then pray about them, it takes us much longer to get where we need to go. But if we pray about things before we talk about them, like we just sort of, this is the issue, don't discuss it, just pray about it. We pray about it, and then a way opens up. It's amazing how fast things happen in that regard. You're not wrestling and struggling with each other. We end up finding the mind of Christ, and then we're okay with that because it's the mind of Christ. Anyways, that's just a little practical thing. A kingdom leader is prayerful. So to review, we can go to the review slide. Thanks. I'll start from the end and work forwards. Or I guess this would be like counterclockwise then to the middle. A kingdom leader is what? Prayerful. That is that the Lord, we need to engage the Lord to get understanding. The next one, a kingdom leader is hardworking and I use the word expectant. You know, that they're hardworking, but they're expecting that the Lord's going to do something. We can't work hard and not expect the Lord to do anything. That's just too hard, and we miss things. So, and the next one up, a kingdom leader is two things. honesty and integrity. Okay, you know what? I've got that all in the wrong order. I'm going to go with the Holy Bible one at the top there. Which one's that one? A teacher, a learner and a teacher. A kingdom leader is a learner and a teacher. And then moving to the top right there, a kingdom leader shares in suffering. They don't shrink from suffering in their own life, and they don't shrink from suffering in others. And the next one, a kingdom leader, is two things to begin with, F. Focused and faithful. Excellent. And then this one at the bottom right hand, a kingdom leader is honesty and integrity, characterized by honesty and integrity. And finally, and most importantly, well, we've got two things there. A kingdom leader is comfortable under authority. That's the first one. And then this huge, huge one, a kingdom leader is empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what they're called to do. And that runs, you know, the need for the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of anyone who wants to serve in leadership as part of God's church. We've got to go for that. Whether it means you're going to school or to work on Monday, and God's calling you to lead as a chaplain, so to speak, in these worldly areas that you may be in, you'll need the Holy Spirit. You'll need His power to know what to do, how to lead. In the church, just we've done the eldership installation, in the church, you need the Holy Spirit to be able to do that job. You need the Holy Spirit's power. Amen. God bless you. Brad.
Thank you, Rob. Very good. Are you getting hungry? Yeah, we've been filled. Good. We're going to go down, but I just want to take a moment just to introduce some new leaders to you. This is kind of a leadership Sunday. Shane isn't our only new leader, and we have other leaders that have also answered calls, and we just want to take a moment right now just to pray for them as well. And so when I share your name, just come on down and stand here, and then we're going to pray for you as a church as a way of closing our service today. The first thing was, I'll introduce two new deacons. I know many of you know that that we have two new deacons. We have a new deacon of missions, and that is Andrea Davis. Andrea, would you mind coming down? And yeah, you can clap for her. And we have a new deacon over ushering, and that's Kyle Morgan. Come on down, Kyle. And we're so thrilled at, you know, when we were praying for deacons for these roles, we felt like the Lord put people in our heart, and they heard the same thing. So it was really one of those really exciting experiences in inviting these guys into leadership and them hearing that call from the Lord. Also, we have a new house group and a house group leader couple, and that's Jerry and Rosalyn. And would you guys come down as well? We realized in the last 2 weeks that we have enough house groups to fill 72 spots. That's almost our entire congregation. And we're just so grateful that God has called leaders, because without called leaders, we wouldn't be able to do that. So we have lots of room for care at Trinity. And so we want to welcome you guys into house group leadership. And also, you may have heard, but Shannon Davis is now our worship and music ministry intern. That means she's working one day a week with us here, and she's going to be doing a lot in our area of worship ministry underneath Andrew, our deacon of worship ministry, as well working with Kenny and myself. So let's welcome Shannon as our worship and ministry. These new leaders need exactly what Rob was talking about. They need the Holy Spirit. And so we wanted to just to end the service by us praying for them, for the filling of the Holy Spirit, for all that they need, that these qualities and characteristics that Rob was sharing from 2 Timothy 2, that the Holy Spirit would fill each one with what they need. So can we stand together? I'll pray the prayer, but would you agree with me as I pray for each leader? Lord Jesus, today we want to thank you for Jerry. Lord, we thank you for Rosslyn. We want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint them, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would give them all that they need for the coming year as house group leaders. Lord, we want to ask for the spiritual gifts and the abilities that they need. Lord, we pray that you give them wisdom in leadership. And Lord, I want to ask for a pastoral gifting just to fill each of them, Lord, both Jerry and Rosslyn, that you would fill them with that spiritual fatherhood and that spiritual motherhood, that you would fill them with your love for your people. Lord, thank you for the little flock that you're going to call under their care. And Lord, I pray that you would just give them wisdom in walking with those that you call to be with them. Lord, fill them and encourage them today in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, we thank you for Shannon. Lord Jesus, thank you for the work that you did in her as she went off to Bethany and was equipped there. Thank you that that equipping doesn't end, that it just continues here with us. Thank you that she can apply all the things that she's been learning here in her home church. Lord, we thank you for her gifts and abilities. We ask that you would give her everything she needs. Holy Spirit, we ask for your power in the area of worship ministry. Lord, we ask that you'd gift her with creativity, with leadership. Lord, we pray that you would you'd release praise and joy out of Shannon. We thank you for how we already see that, Lord. Father, we want to ask that you would take a worship ministry forward at Trinity Baptist and that you would use her in that. Give her wisdom and a passion to make you known and to glorify you. Lord, we want to thank you for Andrea. Lord, we thank you for the heart we see in her for mission. Lord, we want to thank you for the ways that she is already invested in global mission work, the desire she has to give of herself in this area. We recognize that. We thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you would empower her now. As a leader in the area of mission work, Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, for your power, for your wisdom. Lord, I pray for her relationships with our missionaries. Father, that you would bridge those gaps, even those global gaps, Lord, as she seeks to support and encourage. Lord, just fill her with the gift of encouragement for our missionaries. Lord, we also want to ask that you would give her wisdom as to the new things you want to do at Trinity Baptist in the area of missions. Lord, would you just use her in that area? Just Holy Spirit, speak to her. Give her ears to hear what you have, what lies ahead. And Lord, would you give her the strength to do what you're calling her to do. We thank you for her. And Father, we want to thank you for Kyle. Lord, we rejoice that you brought him to Winnipeg, that you joined him to the spiritual family. We thank you for the steps he's taking in leadership. Lord, would you bless him? Holy Spirit, would you give him the gift of administration that he needs and just overseeing the area of ushering, Lord? Father, we pray that you would give him wisdom in the new things that we're looking at. Father, I pray that you would gift him with leadership in making new decisions in new areas of ushering. And Father, we pray that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You guys can go. Just before I bless you, we're just going to be focusing a lot on leadership in the coming weeks. Next Sunday, we're gonna introduce our other deacons and those who are working in the church, because some of you just, maybe you don't know who does what at Trinity Baptist. We're going to make sure everybody knows who does what and pray for one another. So, well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, and please join us in the basement. We're going to have some lunch together.